Hi, I'm so glad you came and joined us both on the internet and in person. What a nice crowd this evening. It's exciting to see everybody. Sherry's back there, and I'm just thrilled that she's here, and Dale and Jeff and Don. I'm glad to see them, and we're just glad to be anywhere. You know, I mean, at my age, you're just lucky to be any place at any time. This will be the last in the series of baptism. Now, the idea is not to wear you out on baptism, but to give you an idea that most people have no idea what they're talking about when they do talk about baptism. Would everybody agree with that? Amen. After going to, we've learned a little bit, and tonight we should be able to finish it up, Lord willing. And if we have to go one more Wednesday night, we'll go, but I think I can get it done if you'll move quickly in your scriptures. I believe, you know, I mentioned at the very beginning of this series that people knew about baptism when John showed up. And so before we go, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 3. Now watch this. Come with me quickly. And I am so glad that you're here tonight. In Matthew chapter 3, I just want you to understand, I'm going to start in verse 5, just kind of cut in the context, that they knew something about baptism, and I'm going to try to show you that tonight. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generations of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the... You know, come on. Did they know to come out what they were doing? They knew. There was some obvious knowledge there. So how did they get that? Well, I want you to see that they were involved in this stuff a lot. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. One of the last ones we talked about, Hebrews chapter 9, and look, if you will, in verse 9. Hebrews 9, verse 9. And I appreciate you turning quickly to these. It will make a difference. If you want, make sure you're writing down these Bible verses. Hebrews 9, verse 9, which was the figure of the time then present, in which for the time... which offered both gifts. I lost my spot when I looked up. Let me read it again. Verse 9. Which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings. Those washings is the word baptismo. Same as baptism. But notice the word divers. What does that mean? Many washings. Well, what did they do? Well, they washed all the time. In fact, one of the rebukes that the elders had is in Mark. Look in Mark chapter 7. And I'll try to get all this put together for you, Lord willing. Mark 7, verse 1. Mark 7, verse 1. The Bible says this. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashed hands, they found fault. Why did they find fault? Well, this is a...
Well, against the law, didn't
it? Well, it was part of the law, but they kind of extended the law kind of their own fruition. That is a ceremonial washing that was experienced. That's why you read about it in Hebrews chapter 9. So I want you to go back to Hebrews 9. But before you do, I want you to Mark 7. Oblation, maybe? I'm okay with that. Ablution, it's U. It's not A. A-B-L-U-T-I-O-N. Ablution is what I think it is. I didn't look up the phonetic spelling of it. No, it's no S. It's A-B-L-U, ablution. Well, I just told you what the meaning was. A ceremonial washing. That's what it is. It's a cleansing. Now, with unwashing hands, that's ablution, or whatever that word is. That's what it is. That is what they were doing here. And who were they rebuking? They were rebuking Jesus and the disciples. They weren't purifying before they ate. Why do you think your parents got into that thing of wash your hands before you eat? It was a Jewish tradition. It didn't have anything to do with the law. But see, that's exactly what the Levites did. They took the law and they just changed it to fit whatever they wanted to fit. It didn't have to do with what the truth was. I mean, God did tell the priest to do some of these things. of washing and purification in the service of the Lord. But they said, well, if it's good enough for the Lord, it must be good enough for everybody. So everybody starts doing it. And they held them accountable based upon that. In fact, did you write, by the way, by unwashed hands, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 and 10? You did write that in your Bible, right? Yeah, you want to do that. In verse 2, where it says, with unwashing hands, Hebrews 9, verse 9 and 10. Hebrews 9, 9 and 10 by Mark chapter 7. Okay, why? What were divers' washings? This is one of them right here, guys. Come on down. Now watch. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off and eat not, holding the traditions of the what? You notice that it is the traditions of the elders that is in question here, not the law of God. Kevin made that point earlier, but I want to reemphasize it. This is not a law of God, but a law of what? Man. And what does he say? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceits after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Can anybody tell me where that verse is found? 4, 3, 2. You can win on the internet. 1. Nobody? I would have given you a $5 bill in your pocket, so we're going to keep this out. There may be other opportunities. It is the only church that you can come to and actually get richer coming. Verse 4. And when they were come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received a hold, as the washings of cups, pots, and brazen vessels, and of tables. You see that? They had divers washings. Hebrews chapter 9. What are we talking about here? You know what? That's exactly what baptism became today. Traditions of the elders. Can you see that? It's become a ceremonial washing. Where did it come from? The traditions of the elders. How do we know that? Well, watch this. Come on down in verse 8. Well, I'm going to start in 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now think about what he's saying. These people honor me with their lips. Do most people in the church honor Jesus with their lips? I would say that's probably true. Are you all understanding what I'm saying? These people honor me. I'm not saying in other churches they don't try to honor Jesus. But they honor him with their lips. Oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And they get baptized. And what do? They make the traditions higher than the will of God. Now look what he says. Watch this. And by the way, by verse 6, you ought to have Matthew 15, verse 9. Write that in your Bible. Right there. Matthew 15, verse 9 by verse 6. Here it is, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. What do? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Let me ask you a question. People that get baptized, are they honoring God? What are they doing? They're doing their own. They're like, hey, I'm going to worship God. You know who that reminds me of? How about Cain? I'm just going to plant some vegetables and bring them to the Lord. Lord didn't say plant any vegetables. What did he say? Bring a blood offering. And that's where we got the term, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. That term came from Cain. That's what people are doing with baptism. You can't become pleasing to God by disobeying God. To obey is to be better than what? Sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams, he said in 1 Samuel. There is no way that you can please God by going against the will of God and saying, well, the traditions of the elders, we're honoring the tradition. God says, do you honor the traditions of the elder or obey? In fact, go to Matthew 15. It says it so much better there. Verse 7. Matthew 15, verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's Jesus saying that, folks. Another tradition of the elders, huh? See how they sneak in even to grace churches? We're trying to bless them with all the blessings they'd already been blessed with. Verse 8, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouths and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of what?
man.
Well, how can you honor God if you're following the commandments of... And there are those Pharisees who are trying to trap them. Well, look what he says. I love this. In 15, it is really nicely explained at the top. Verse 1. 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? You ought to underline that in your Bible. Verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Hey, they're asking a great question. And God answers, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But listen what Jesus said. This is the classic, guys. And he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? That's pretty strong, isn't it?
Absolutely.
People get mad at me because I get to pointing out religious people, what they do. Why? Man, if you're worshiping God in vain, you might as well not be worshiping Him. Say, well, I'm going to be baptized. Everybody else is being baptized. The elders told me to get baptized. By doing that, you have dishonored Almighty God. Why? He said, one faith, one Lord, everybody, one baptism. And that has nothing to do with you. It's 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. So by taking of the water, you're just like the Pharisees. Following the Pharisees, what did he say? They honor me with their lips and honor me with their mouths, but what's the problem? Their heart is far from me. How do we know? Why, you're disobeying God. What? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. I know it. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. I've got them all actually memorized. Yes?
If you're a Jew in this dispensation and you do get baptized, you are following the Lord.
No. In this, you can only do what the dispensation is teaching at the time. It is also neither Jew nor Gentile. Galatians 3, verse 28. Neither Jew nor Gentile during this age. You're either saved or you're lost. Or you haven't heard, and you know, there's other people also. But I mean, you're not Jew or Gentile.
Baptized, you haven't heard the word.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. How many here got baptized before they got to a Grace Church? How many here would get baptized again if they had the choice? None. Why? They did it ignorantly and unbelief. So I'm not opposing that. Now, ablution, a ceremonial washing that it might be of a person, a part thereof, a clothing, vessel, or furniture, or a symbol of purification. That's what it is. They were described, the priesthood was told to do this. Look in Exodus. This is something that they were, the priest now, remember we're talking about the priest, Exodus chapter 40, Exodus 40, verse 12. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the doors of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with what? With water. Why? Did he say bring all Israel? Who was to be brought forth and washed? Aaron and his son. Why was Jesus washed? To fulfill all what? Righteousness. He was a priest. Just as Aaron and his sons came before and they were washed, Jesus Christ had to come forth. Listen, you're not a priesthood of Almighty God. You're the body of Christ. You're a different entity altogether. You don't need to act like priests. You're not part of Israel. You're not some lost tribe of Israel. You're not somebody out there. You're a Gentile that was saved by grace through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Now the reality is that is very, very, very important. By doing the traditions, you make the cross of Christ of none effect. People say, well, it doesn't make any difference. Do you realize how many people trust their baptism when you ask them about their salvation? How many ask people, if you were to die tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? Has anybody asked anybody?
Yes.
What did they answer?
All kind of questions, but never the right one. Yeah.
I mean, it's never the right one. You say, well, how bad is doing this? It can get very confusing very fast. Ask the people at work. If you were to die tonight, where would you go? And why would you go there? I've had people say, I hope I go to heaven. And you say, okay, great. Why? And they say, well, I've been baptized. I walked the aisle for Jesus. I said the sinner's prayer. And I never hear the fact that Jesus Christ went back 2,000 years ago and died for their sins. I never hear that.
And when you do hear it, it's a shock.
Or if you mention it to them afterwards, oh yeah, I believe that. Well, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. You let people talk and they'll talk themselves right into hell. You'll know that they're lost. And it's all about these traditions and things that people have counted on for time and eternity, and they were doing it in the Pharisaical traditions and the traditions of the elders, and they're doing it now in the church. And people ought to be woken up and say, hey, quit playing religion, become a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. Then he says, and thou shalt put on Aaron the holy garment, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he might minister unto me in the priest's office. Water has a means of purification. It has to do with being set apart. There were things that people weren't allowed to touch, like dead bodies, and they were to wash their hands, and ladies through menstruations, and things like that. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, because it really doesn't deal in the issue of what I'm talking about. But I do want you to see it in the law. Go to Leviticus chapter 12 through 15. Now, I won't read it all. Leviticus 12, 12 through 15. And you can read it. Leviticus 12 through Leviticus 15. And I'm just going to read a couple of them. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of the separation for her infirmities. Shall she be what? Unclean. Purification and setting apart is exactly what God did all the way through the Bible. In the eighth day of the flesh of the foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing. Why? It would defile it. And so Leviticus 12, 13, 14, and 15 has to do with ablution. Now, I want to deal with a couple more issues on this Old Testament. Look, if you will, in Ezekiel 36, people talk about sprinkling is not in the Bible. Well, that's not true. Where the Methodists get it from? 36:25. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's 36:25 through 38. Starting 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Who's the you in the context? Israel. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit, and I will put it within you. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, you might want to write it right there. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you, as in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, and cause you to walk in my statutes, as having the law written upon their heart, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Then shall you dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and on and on. This all has to do with purification. He is going to do what at the end? Take clean water and do what with them? They were expecting a baptism, guys. When John showed up, they should have realized what was going on. Amen? Didn't do it, did they? Go to Isaiah. Isaiah 52. I'm trying to find the verse. I got it. Let's just start in one. Awake, awake, put thy strength. Isaiah 52. Did I not tell you the chapter? 52. We don't have to read from one. I'm sorry. It's verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Is he going to baptize the nations? Let me ask a question. Were they told to go out and baptize the nations? Where would we find that? Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. You need to put that right there. That is the Great Commission, guys. Ultimately, that's what's going to happen. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Aren't you glad you got me as your Bible teacher?
Yes, sir.
Hannah, I love you. Who's your favorite preacher, Hannah? That's right. I used to be Hannah's favorite preacher, too, but not anymore.
You have two Hannahs now, remember?
I know. This Hannah. Who's your favorite preacher? Her daddy teaches. I want you to put Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Now, here's the verse. And shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Now, Let me tell you, did they plan to sprinkle them clean? The part of the kingdom message? Yeah, Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Go in ye into all the world, baptizing all nations, baptizing them in the what? Name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But you know what Paul said? Christ sent me what?
Not
to baptize. Well, guys, come on. Let's get serious about this for just a minute. There's no way he could be fulfilling Ezekiel 37 and Isaiah 52 by Christ sent me not to baptize. So the churches today, what are happening? They're putting those names up because people feel comfortable with the what? Tradition. Everybody feels comfortable with traditions, right? But those traditions are really showing them that they're not Bible students and they're not, they want to do it. Gene, let me ask you a question. You were baptized when you were young or whenever, right? Would you get baptized now again? How about it, Carlton? Were you baptized? Oh, as a kid. Would you get baptized again now after the study of baptism? How about you? Yes. Yeah, he's going to go home and get a bath. So what am I trying to tell you? That all of these things meant a lot going on. Now, listen. This had nothing to do with a bath. It was considered a separate ceremony for that. And it had to do with uncleanness and being made clean and right.
Kind of like when they washed Jesus' feet. And
exactly. That's what foot washing was about. The anointing with the oil had to do the same thing. I mean, it all had to do part of that service. You notice that Paul didn't go around foot washing or bathing anybody? Guys, this whole thing has gotten so bent out of shape that people are becoming disobedient to the will of God by tradition. And you know why? Because we don't study. And if all the ones that really stuck together, that really studied the Word of God, this room would be full. It'd be absolutely packed from side to side. And you say it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference. It makes a big difference. Why? Folks, listen, let me tell you what. I don't preach my heart out to take your money and retire early. I'm preaching my heart out that you might get the truth. Dale's saying is exactly right. Well, the more you study baptism, the more you study rightly dividing, it starts putting the pieces of the puzzle together and makes it clearer and clearer. Let's go down through it one more time. Make sure everybody's got the list. And we're going to end up. We'll probably end up a little early. We're done. So then we'll go a little bit of Daniel. I'm doing that first. Number one, get your pens out. If you haven't got the list, get your old list out. Here's John's baptism in Matthew chapter 3. That's the baptism onto repentance. Then number two, Christ's baptism of the Holy Ghost. Where is that found?
Matthew 3:11.
Christ's baptism of fire. Y'all writing these down? You got to write them down. You won't remember them. And you know what you need to do is show some people. Is Matthew 3:11b. The baptism of Christ himself. Matthew 3 what? Can anybody give me the verse?
15.
15? Woo, Brenda, good. Baptism of the baptism of Christ into death. Someone give me a verse? Luke 12:50. The baptism in the name of Jesus is a part of the Great Commission. We just mentioned that in Matthew 28:20. The baptism of the Spirit into Christ, into the one body. First, good. Baptism onto Moses. Can someone give me the verse? 10:1. And you guys need to have these memorized. Why? When you start to talk about baptism, you want to be able to say, let me show you. Boom, 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 boom. This is what I believe. Boom, 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 boom. Baptism onto Moses, it was 1 Corinthians 10:1. Baptism for the dead, 15:29. Good, Carlton. Divers washing, Hebrews 9:9. Good, Kevin. Baptism at Pentecost for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And by the way, which one do they use most likely for water baptism? Acts 2:38. Can you imagine teaching for you're getting baptized for the remission of sins when Paul is preaching that Christ had died for all of your sins? You see the confusion that could lie there? I mean, if you really start to understand the verse, you say, am I getting baptized for the remission of sin? You know, and on and on. And those are 11. Which one of those baptisms is for us today? 1 Corinthians 12 is the one in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 that says, everybody, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Which baptism is that? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. That's it. That's the one. Circle it. That's the one. And that is the only one that matters. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all have gone to church and never knew about 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13? But you know, a lot of people, I mean, they didn't even know about 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Wouldn't that be terrible to be taking a water baptism when the one baptism is that, and then when you finally find out about it, you say, well, why was I baptized? And you go back and say, well, everybody's been doing it. Well, if everybody's going to hell, do you want to go too? You don't go because everybody does it. You do it because the Word of God told you to do it or not to do it. Does that make sense? All right. And then you got the two traditional baptisms of the Old Testament, Ezekiel 36, 24 through 38, Isaiah 52, verse 15. And the traditional baptism of the Jews is Mark chapter 7, 1 through 9. And that matches the divers washings of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. Now, as we come into a close of baptism, baptism really means to be identified with. Today, the only baptism that identifies you with anything of any purpose would be the one in 1 Corinthians 12. What does it identify you with?
Christ.
You become one with Christ. How did you do that? Well, you didn't do anything. The Spirit takes you and plummets you into Christ. Therefore, when Jesus Christ died, say it, I died. When He was crucified, I was crucified. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Come on, guys. I mean, can't you see the awesomeness of God? And so what happens is all these churches, they may be teaching salvation by grace, and they say, well, but you, what you need to do is be baptized as a testimony for Christ. That couldn't be any further from the truth. What it's doing is denying the finished work of Calvary. You know why? Colossians 2 verse 10 says, and ye are complete in Him. Then what would baptism add to you? Zero. As he said, a good bath, it perverts the gospel. It makes the cross of Christ of none effect. You know, guys, listen to me. I'm not picking on baptism. I'm just trying to show you how the thing gets all twisted up. And I love Dale. Dale, I appreciate you coming. But Dale told me he was confused a couple, two or three weeks ago. I bet he's a lot less confused now. Amen? Amen. I mean, I bet he can see a bigger picture of it all now. Well, that's the idea. The idea is to see the greater picture. How many people do you know at sitting in churches have any idea what's really going on? Really, honest to engine knows what's going on.
Walk around up here, man.
Man, they just, should you be baptized or should you not? Is it part of it? I mean, people are questioning it in every way. How would you answer them now? Oh, it's okay to get baptized. I wouldn't say that. Why would you deny the finished work of Calvary? But he probably took some offense to that. You know, listen, bye-bye baptismals. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Guys, listen, it does bother me for people to be baptized. Why? They're missing the finished work of Calvary. I've had people say, well, I feel like I need to be baptized after I got... What? Why do you feel that? I ate some collard greens. I'm feeling that, brother. You know?
Because
the whole point, what?
Because somebody told you that's what you needed to do.
That's right. And so you feel lacking. But you ought to have confidence in the Bible. Hey, you guys pay attention here. Jeff says, and this is what they do say, it is a testimony of your salvation. Is it?
No.
What does it testify? This is what it testifies. You have no clue what's going on. That's what it testifies on. What? What happens if someone doesn't show to that testimony? Then the only other means of that testimony, if you've got to use that as a testimony, if that's the way and the means in which to give a testimony, then every time you're in front of someone, you've got to get in the water or show them your letter. You all understand what I'm saying? Well, that's exactly what we call baseball religion. They get you going like this. Say, well, you get saved, and you really got a home run when you got saved. Amen? But you run to first base. Why do you run to first base? Well, you know, it may be walking the aisle. And over here is baptism. And over here is confession. And if you do all that thing, you get running around, it's baseball religion. And that's what they kind of teach you. And so people get nervous and say, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing this? Listen, if I taught in every Baptist church from North Alabama South, and I taught them on baptism, how many of them do you think would receive it? You know why? Their tradition has blinded them. The veil is over their eyes. Now, why wouldn't they receive it? Because they, you know, they haven't heard it. If they heard it, they would have made a decision. Amen?
Right.
I mean, it's obvious once you see it. How many have seen that there are at least 11 baptisms in the New Testament?
Amen.
Is there any doubt in your mind?
No.
Can you ever go back and say not? So, do it as a testimony. That's part of the traditions of the elders. And Jesus Christ told those people about traditions what? Why, by your traditions, do you break the commandments of God? That's why I read Matthew. You know, the realization is we're talking about a very important issue. One that can be understood and intellectually understood by discussion. Amen? And there's no reason to put up a fight or whatever. That's not what this is about. This is about truth. And the more truth you got, the more you're going to be peaceful and you're not going to be tossed to and fro. I can't help what you did before you came here. But you ought to see how important it is to the cause of Christ that we stick together as a unit. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't give a flip. And you know what, Dale? They're trying for Hannah's brain. They're playing for your daughter. Playing for Terry's daughter and son. Playing for yours, Tamara. And they want them. Say, well, it won't affect you. Kevin, why don't you tell them how much religion can affect you? You fought it here for 50 years. Got here and I made him so mad he couldn't stand me. Welcome to the club. Get in line. But I wasn't trying to get him mad at me. Trying to get him to see the truth. Why was he having a hard time seeing the truth?
It's a veil over his eyes.
All that religion, all that time, covered up, lost from the truth. And I hear it in the confusion of people that come. And I'm not trying. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Boy, that's good, isn't it?
It won't set you free, but it'll make you free.
Yeah, that's right. John 8:32. Now, guys, listen to me. The realization, the more truth you hold in your hands, the less you're going to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The more truth you have in your hand, the more ability you're going to be able to help your brother that comes up to you on the side. I want to read one verse before we leave here. And I got just a minute. Y'all don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. 4:6 says this. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. You know what that salt represents? The Word of God. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. That's what it's all about, boys. I've given you a gold nugget over the last 4 or 5 weeks. How long have we been doing this? 5 weeks now? And I could do it again and do it differently and you'd get another little piece of it or two. But over 5 weeks, we've pretty much discussed it and you got a gold nugget. You know what you got to do with that gold nugget? According to the Bible, the ones that have wisdom, you know what they do? They share it. Well, how do you know that? Let me read the one last verse on wisdom. Watch this. I love this.
Really, they've got a loaf of bread and they're sharing that bread with everybody.
That is true. Give me just a second. Yeah, the verse that I want. Talks about liberality. No, it's in Proverbs. Yes. He talks about them that withhold it and end up with nothing. And those that give it away end up rich. Did you understand? I mean, I can't find it and I'm under pressure and time to stop. But you have the gold nugget. You can do two things. You can hold it. Yes. There's another place where it talks about being liberal, but it's okay. This will work. There is that maketh himself rich yet hath nothing. By holding that gold nugget, you absolutely have nothing. You have nothing. By taking that gold nugget and sharing it with someone, you got everything. Do you all understand? You got a gold nugget. Over the last four, you've got something that no one in this town has. You've got it. You've got it. And if you take that gold and share it with people, you will be richer than all that you... That's how important. See, the ministry isn't mine. The ministry is yours. You got a nugget of knowledge.
Yes.
So, you guys, enjoy. Appreciate you watching on the internet. Hope it was a blessing. Appreciate the crew. Appreciate the text messages from everybody. If you have any questions, and then the next time I'll preach, I'll start working on Daniel and some of those.